Hi.
How are you?
Not too bad, and yourself?
With all due respect, let's get the small talk. Welcome to Let's Skip the Small Talk, a podcast show where we talk about it all, one topic at a time. I'm your host, Tyconis Allison. With that being said, ready, set, stimulate.
Let's get small talk.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to episode 201 of Let's Skip the Small Talk today. Ladies and gentlemen, This right here will be an unforgettable episode. Today, I'll be joined by my good brother, Malcolm, and we'll be breaking down and opening up and discussing the cost of being a man. Without any further ado, I'd like to welcome in my good brother, Malcolm.
My brother, you remember when we did our manhood episode last year, actually?
Yeah.
And it's something you said that was very profound to me. And I wanted to just do a callback to that message.
Mm-hmm.
You said that a man isn't truly tested until he becomes a father.
Yeah.
And that really hit me because clearly once you become a father, you see the defining difference between before and after.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what I wanted to us to start off with today is let's talk about our fathers.
Yeah.
Let's talk about our upbringing and the lessons that we learn. I know a lot of times we hear that, you know, men aren't vocal enough or whatever the case may be. But I know one thing about my dad, and I definitely heard him say, "I love you, son," and "son, you're handsome."
Yeah.
But one thing about my dad is I remember like feeling him, right? Like his presence.
Yeah.
Even when my dad wasn't around, he was around.
Yeah.
So my brother, if you want to kick it off here, share some of like your experience, your upbringing with your father and some of the lessons that you learned.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think you said it perfectly. Like, I mostly remember like you said, like you felt his presence, you know. That's why I always felt my dad's presence. Like, just, I mean, that my dad's already like a tall guy, so he's like 6'3".
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, a very deep voice, so like there's no mistaking, you know, when you hear him or when he speaks or when he talks or when you see him. But it's just their aura, you know. It's something that you see it across the room. You feel it, like you said. But yeah, I mean, I remember, like, you know, a lot of what I learned from my dad is not so much like words too much. Mm-hmm. But I remember like the actions. Like, I remember him waking up or working two jobs or working a night shift or, you know, getting off one job, going to the next job. I remember his work ethic. Not just in just going to work, but in everything he did. When you cut the grass, you had to cut it a certain type of way. You know, you can't just make two lines. You got to go over the first line you did. You know, just little like minute details. Like, you learn that there's details in everything you do, and the details are very important. So those are the type of things I learned from him. But it's just I learned having my dad, you learn how to be a man. Like, you learn to take care of your responsibilities, whether you may want to or not want to, but he's always going to do it, you know. Having that presence there on a daily basis is key to what I am.
Mm-hmm.
It's key to my success, and it's just one of those things that, you know, you come to appreciate when you're older. You know, I guess when you're younger, you can't really see it all the time. I think for men, especially if you have kids, I think sometimes like it can go for granted with a kid. Like, when you're younger, like, you can't really appreciate any of the stuff. You're just thinking they like being too tough. Like, who you hanging out with? Whose house is this? Well, what friend is that? You know, like what does all that matter? Like, they're just kids my age, you know what I mean? But you know, being a man now, you understand, you know what, certain kids are up to. Oh, where's his dad at? That used to be my dad's favorite question. Where his dad at?
Mm-hmm.
And if there was like, well, he ain't got no dad. He just live with his mom.
Yeah.
He used to give me a hard time about those type of kids.
Yeah.
And I never really understood until now. And he wasn't saying that they were bad, right? But the importance of a man and how the importance of a man raising boys to become men is very important.
It is.
So he knew that hanging out with those kids without a father, they might be misguided and they might not have that voice in the back of their ear that I had.
Yeah.
You know, that constant reminder, do the right thing.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, pull your pants up. This is you looking, you're talking to somebody, you give them a firm handshake, you look them in the eyes. You know, you don't wander your eyes, you know, you just things like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things where, like, man, like, you really can't appreciate it until you become older and you have some kids. Like, you just really can't. And like, you think that, man, this guy is just being tough for no reason. Like, you don't have to be tough. Like, I'm your son. You don't have to do all that. Like, I'm not another man on the street. But no, it was lessons behind that. And like I said, I don't think you can fully appreciate them. Like, I know I didn't fully appreciate back then. I just thought, man, just being mean today. You know, woke up on the wrong side of the bed. But, you know, he was consistent in his way about, you know, raising us. And, you know, some things he just didn't stand for. And that was it, you know. And you know, sometimes, you know, I look at what I do and I was like, you know, that comes straight from him, you know. It's just one of those things where it's like, man, and you can't budge. Some things he wasn't gonna budge on. And you know, when you got morals and you got principles, you're gonna stand on that regardless of what society tells you, if it's right or wrong or whatever. He was gonna stand on it. That's one thing I remember too, is like, man, listen, you live life how you want to live life. Right. What he also did is he also told me, like, and it's very important. He was like, the world gonna tell you a whole lot of stuff. Fine. You respect people, you respect their ideas, you respect their opinions. But this is how we do stuff in this house. That used to be the favorite thing. This is how we do it in this house.
That's funny. I say that to Aaliyah all the time.
This is how we do it in this house. And you know, my dad's very opinionated on a lot of things, right? And he'll give you the honest truth. But one thing is, he never disrespectful to people. Mm-hmm. Never. You know, always courteous, always kind, show you respect. Now, nobody to mess with him, you know, nobody to be played with, but just always respectful. Always, yeah. You know, say yes, sir, da da da, kept them moving, you know. Just very respectful person. Those are the things that you just pick up. I picked up from my dad, and, you know, just try to emulate and copy those things. But yeah, I mean, I really can't envision life without that.
Oh, right? Man.
You know, I don't know if you have the same person. With all due respect to my mom, I don't know if she could have gave me. Well, she can't. She couldn't have. What my dad gave me.
Yeah.
You know, as much, you can't replace a mother, right? We all know that. Like, there's, but you can't replace a father either.
Exactly.
They're equal, you know?
Yeah.
There's one is not greater than the other.
Right.
If you miss one, you're just missing out.
Yeah.
You're just missing out. And, you know, I know the sometimes the narrative is, you know, independent woman, they can do all these things, they can raise kids by themselves, but you know, I have respect for all single mothers and things like that, but having a father figure there is irreplaceable.
Yeah.
it's something that a woman can, you're not a man, there's nothing that you can do. Being tough on your son is not the same,
right?
It's really not, because I when my mom be like, oh, I had to give you tough love, I'd be like, okay, that's cool. You know, now, when my dad says it's tough love, man, it's a little bit more, you know, real.
Yeah, yeah.
And and then, but see, and then also, my dad was like, he'd have, you know, some, like, he didn't try to sugarcoat things. Neither did my mom, but he would give you more like the real, what this is, you know, like he would speak open about, you know, doing drugs and you know, just being followers. That's one thing too, is like, he hated it when we followed behind what other kids were doing. Couldn't stand that. Like, you want to get in some trouble? Tell him, oh, my friends were doing this, so I thought Oh, my God. That, then you'd be in some trouble. So he'd be like, so if your friends are stupid, you want to be stupid too? You know, he'll say something like that.
Yeah. The classic one was, because I heard that same thing. Yeah. So if your friends jump off a bridge, you jump off.
Yeah. So, man, just like, I really wish that I could like put it into better words for people to truly understand. But I think we kind of alluded to it before. Like, you can't really describe like a man.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell. You got to really walk these shoes. You got to walk that walk, talk that talk to really understand it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, of course, other men might be able to feel that. But like, when you had said, man, I felt him. Even when he wasn't there.
Yeah.
I understood what that meant. Like, man, like if I was to walk in your house, I know there's a man here.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Like, and that's kind of how it was. Like, you know, there's a man here in this home.
Yeah.
It's protected. It's provided for.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's what he did, you know, in our household, you know? So, yeah, man. I mean, that's going back memory lane.
Yeah, that's important, man. Those lessons that we learn, they literally stick with us for the rest of our lives, and we pass them down to our children and so forth and so forth. I know with my dad, I just this story I never forget. Your father pushes you to grow along the way, right? Like there's always room for improvement, and there's always areas to grow, right? And my dad was a huge proponent of that. And so I remember maybe around what we started cutting grass, what, maybe like 12 13, or 13 14, Brody?
Probably like 12 13,
right? So 12 13, right? I remember like my dad teaching me how to cut the grass.
Yep.
Boom. That's step one. Then I remember around 13 and 14, now wanting to go to the skating ring or buy a video game or whatever the case may be. I remember my dad, the first time I remember him telling me that I should utilize the lawnmower as an opportunity to make money for myself. I really remember that conversation. I really, really do. So that's step two. Right. So then you and I would get up 9 o'clock in the morning. We want to get out early in the morning before the sun start beaming down.
Yep.
Right. You know that Georgia sun.
Oh, yeah.
So we up, we knocking on doors. Good morning. Would you like us to cut your grass? And, you know, if we landed, they ask the price. Always something like either 20 or 40, right? We get 10 bucks or we get 20 bucks. Sometimes 30, we get 15 bucks.
Yeah.
I think our biggest score was our biggest 60 or 80.
No, I think somebody dropped 80 on us one time.
Right. And we walked away with 40 apiece, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we were done for the day.
Yeah. I think it was that dude that I lived right across the street from, that big house.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
That's too funny. And his lawn was up and down and on a slope. And
that hill was no joke.
Yeah. Well, we was out there working the Twin Towers, man. We was working. But the next step of that process, I remember my dad saying, son, if you're going to use the lawnmower, you have to put gas back in it.
Mm.
That was step three.
I remember that.
He taught me how to cut grass, right? So instead of me feeding fish, he taught me how to fish. Mm-hmm. Step two, he said, son, if you want to go to the skating rink, which costs $10, $12 to get in, you have to start thinking of ways to making your own money. You have a lawnmower out there in the shed. Go use it. Boom. Step two. Step three, okay, You know how to cut grass. Okay. You're making some money for yourself from time to time whenever you, you know, apply yourself. Well, you got to put gas back in the machine.
Yep.
Right. You just can't use something. And then when it's time to cut our own grass, it's empty. And then I have to go put gas in when you use the gas to generate your income. So mm-hmm. he's teaching me like these different levels to it. And yeah. I didn't understand that until now, looking back, I'm like, wow, like yeah. that was an important lesson right there that was taught in stages.
I think of that because we used to switch out lawnmowers. Like yeah. one weekend be your lawnmower, next weekend. I remember it was supposed to be my week to use the lawnmower. Uh-huh. And I went to my dad. I was like, Poppy, the lawnmower doesn't have any gas in it. He looked at me. He's like, yeah, because you never put any gas in it. And I was hurt, man. I was like, man, what I'm going to do?
Uh-huh.
He was like, you still got that $5? I was like, yeah. All right, let's go. He took my $5 too. It wasn't like he was playing around. Like he took the $5 and we filled up that tank.
Wow.
Half a change left behind it, but still. Mm-hmm. I was like, dang, it's a tough world out here. That's because that's how the world works.
Yes.
Like, and you know, you don't really get it when they doing that. Like you just think, like, bro, you couldn't have done it for $5. Like you work for a living. Like,
yeah.
Grant spared me $5. But no, I mean, it's those lessons where it's just like, okay, now you understand why you did it. Like
right.
nobody is going to do anything for you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do it yourself.
Yeah.
You got to figure it out.
And that is the mentality of that I have, you mm-hmm. know, and I know you do too. And, yeah. you know, it all comes full circle, right? Because like I said earlier, it's the lessons that we learn from our fathers is what we use with our children as fathers, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I talked to Aaliyah about is finding a solution, right? Like you just said, like nobody's coming to save you. Yeah. And see, here's the beautiful thing about fathers. Your fathers prepare you for the world from the day you're born.
Yeah.
They really do.
Yep.
They really do. I'm not going to lie, Brody. And I know you could contest to this. You've been a father longer than I have. Almost every instance throughout the day, if there's a lesson to be taught,
yeah,
like to Aaliyah, like if she's doing something, then I think of like the future, like why it's important to speak on this now. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't become a problem later.
I sometimes think I focus on that too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just be finding stuff. I'd be like, man, I tell you, if we don't get this under control now,
uh-huh.
it is going to be a problem by 16. You know how many times I say that?
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, dang, sometimes do I just need to see them for the 6 year old, the 9 year old and, mm-hmm. and the 3 year old.
Yeah.
I can't help it. I cannot help it.
We spoke about that. And you know what? That is the beautiful dynamic of having a two-parent household.
Yeah. Yep. You're right. Yep.
See, you said earlier in our Mother's Day episode how Risha reels you back in.
Yeah.
Right? Like sometimes she's like, well, you know what? Don't worry about it. They 9 right now. Da, da, da. So they provide that other side of reasoning.
Yep.
And just like the same side of reasoning you come in with, you provide that with. Sometimes she's probably like, okay, you're right. You know, we yep. probably do need to da da da. But like you said, that's why Poppy was asking, hey, where's their father?
Yeah.
Because it takes two to tango.
Yeah.
Right.
It takes two to make one.
Exactly. So granted, we can all get by, but there's so much like you said, that's missing,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's so much missing. To go back to what you were saying, like the world, like nobody's going to save you. And that's a mentality that I embody, which is why, and I'm being completely honest with you. Sometimes I feel like I'm on an island all alone.
Mm.
And I know you probably felt me when I said that.
Yeah.
I'm on this island all alone and it's my job to build a civilization on this island. you know, yeah. and meaning taking care of my family to the best of my ability, reaching my fullest potential as an individual, as a father, as a fiance, future husband, like nobody is, it doesn't matter if I write SOS in the sand. There's no ship, there's no cruise boat, there's no airplane coming by. I must build this up from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes into the daily grind.
Yep.
The daily grind of, it may look easy because I don't complain. I don't complain. This, you waste your breath complaining. You do.
How often do we say that? Nobody cares.
They don't.
Nobody cares. What's the point of you complaining? No, because everybody's living life. That in itself comes with its the daily grind, right?
Yeah.
Nobody really. People will ask you. We do it all. How you doing?
Mm-hmm.
That's just a way of talking. I could only imagine if somebody actually stopped me and really like told me how they're doing. I would be like, dang, you know, that sucks. But I really don't have time for this because I'm trying to make sure that I'm doing good.
Yeah.
I can't worry about how you're doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, I don't have like, and it's not, I'm not trying to be mean. It's just, I can't give that to you right now in this particular moment because I am trying to, right, survive, make it thriving. Like you said, yeah. We were dumped on the island by ourselves. Either we're gonna thrive, or we're gonna be picking at the scraps and very eventually die from starving.
That's right.
So I have to figure out a way to thrive on this island. If I'm not doing that today, I can't even take a moment to hear you.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And then that kind of goes back to what you were saying, like, even if I told you this, you won't even know the, like, it's coming out of our mouth. Like, I'm hearing it coming out of your mouth, but actually going through it is different. Like, it sounds like, oh, okay, we're having a conversation right now. Mm-hmm. I can kind of understand what they're saying, but you got to go through it.
You do.
Like, you have to really be going through it to truly understand, like, what this is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a grind.
It is. It really is. And that's why I love that imagery of being on an island all alone.
Yeah.
Even though we have wives and fiancés, but here's the thing. And I can only speak for myself. I'm just being 1000%. And Alicia would tell you this. She said, you know, you don't ever ask me for too much. You don't ever ask for help. I love Alicia, obviously. The world knows that, you know.
I love where you're going with this.
The way I view it is it's A through Y. I must try 25 different ways of getting this done on my own before I get to Z. And then the 26th way, then I will ask her for help or assistance. And it's a mentality. It's an embodiment. Because we done this from boys. You remember when your mama mm-hmm. come home or your dad come home with the van full of groceries?
Yep.
And the way you save from doing 8 trips is you carry as many bags as you can and do 4 trips, right?
Put off the circulation on your wrist.
Exactly. Exactly. Not only are you trying to get this done, but you're trying to show off to your mama mm-hmm. and your daddy how strong you getting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I would literally have bags all in my hands. I make it through all the security doors where we live. Mm-hmm. And then I come up the elevator and I get to the door. And instead of me kicking the door lightly with my foot, or instead of me knocking the door with my elbow, or instead of me finding some way to flick the flicker on the door, I would find a way to already have my key prepared to somehow get it in the hole and try to twist and get that door open on my own. And I can hear her right there in the kitchen.
Mm.
I can hear her right on the other side of the door.
Yeah.
But I won't knock.
Mm.
Because I have to figure this out.
Yeah.
It's from the smallest things to the largest things. It's a mentality. Granted, we're a tandem and we work together.
Right.
But we all have different roles, right? Everybody brings something different to the table. And I know what I bring to the table is this must get done no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
There's no ifs, there's no ands, there's no buts. And some people, that's a pressure. It's a burden.
Yeah. For me, no, definitely, it's definitely a pressure. I would definitely say that. To have that mentality, I think you're just so used to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it's a pressure.
Yeah.
It's definitely pressure.
Here's the thing is, I love a good challenge. I love proving it to myself.
Yeah.
I love, Malcolm, sure. There could be nobody around. Nobody around. And let's stick with carrying the grocery bags. There could be no one in the parking lot. There could be no one in the building. There could be no one in the house. I'm still going to carry as many bags as I can.
Mm.
You understand?
Yeah.
Like this is not for show.
Yeah,
this
that's true, though. Prove. That's true.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm just always trying to prove it to myself. And it's
ask you a quick question real quick.
Yeah.
Because you was mentioning about, you know, Alicia asks you, you don't ever ask for help.
Yeah.
Do you think the reason, part of some of the reason we don't ask for help is because we think that nobody can help us?
Mm.
I was just wondering that when you had said it like that, for some reason that just popped in my head. I was like, well, why don't I? Do I think you can't?
Mm.
You shouldn't help me? I'm trying to figure out what is it, because I do the same thing. Like,
yeah,
like it has to be like I'm on my last leg. Like,
yeah, yeah.
About to snap on me, essentially. Like, you know what I mean? Like, before I go searching for that help, like, do I think that you can't, there's nothing that you can do to help me?
Mm-hmm.
Do I think that you shouldn't have to help me? I'm trying to just like figure out what that thing is. What is that?
That's a good question. That's a real good question that I haven't actually given much thought, because like you said earlier, it's a way of living. It's a way of,
like when you had said that, I was like, man, that sounds so familiar, but why is it?
You know,
you said, you go A through Z.
Yeah.
Got to figure out if there's a solution. If there's a solution, you know, we're going to find it. Right.
You know, you know what it is, my brother? Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with her at all.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with her. It has everything to do with me, meaning that I truly believe that nobody is coming to save you. Mm-hmm. So I have to be the superhero. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's I'm not looking to anyone else until, like you said, it's that last leg. And then the first person that I will look to is her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And probably the only person, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And outside of her, then it would be you, but then it stops. Yeah. I'm just being honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's I don't think she's incapable of helping me, because anytime I have asked, she's been able to. It's just that it's a mentality of you need to exhaust all options before you start seeking help.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't personally see a problem with that. That's actually something I don't want to say my dad per se taught me that message, but that's something that I picked up from him.
Mm.
Right. Let me tell you something. And you said it earlier, when Poppy worked doubles, Poppy worked the night shift. When my dad would work 3 to 11, then 11 to 7, come in the house, cook us breakfast, then hang out with us, and then get a nap.
Mm.
You know, I'm talking like now he's laying down maybe around like 2 p.m.
Mm.
After being up for 24 hours. Do you understand? Like, dog, nobody's coming to save you. You have to work both shifts to provide for your family. You have to come home. Work is over, but that doesn't mean that it's over at home. That means work has just begun. Your kids are awake.
That's two different types of work.
Yeah. And what you just did doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter to them.
This is not TV, Malcolm. This is not TV when you walk in the door and you sit on a recliner and you grab a beer and you kick your feet up and you watch, you're watching TV and you're telling the kids, oh, come on, relax. I just got in. Be quiet.
Yeah.
This is not TV. This is the real world.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if you just work 8 hours, 12 hours, 16 hours, you come home. Now it's time to work again. Right? It's time to make breakfast. It's time to start the dishwasher. It's time to sweep the floor.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, this doesn't stop, you know, and we spoke about the daily grind. This is all part of it.
Yep.
This is the daily grind. And so when I see my dad do all those things, it's the reason why I do what I do today. Because I see my dad do it. I seen it done.
Yeah.
I physically seen it done. So when I come in after working two jobs and then, okay, boom, now it's time to cook dinner.
Yeah.
Everyone has to eat.
Yep.
Yep. So I can't. And another thing, and this is just like personally for me, is I get fulfillment by completing my checklist.
Yeah.
I don't sleep when I'm tired. I sleep when I'm done.
Mm.
You understand?
Yep.
So after I do everything I'm supposed to do, record, edit, make dinner, da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, all right. I got 2.5 hours to get a nap before it's time to get up and go to the next job.
Mm.
Opposed to me saying, can you make dinner tonight? I know it's my night, but can you make dinner? And then can you also do this and can you do that so I can get 5 hours of sleep? No, you're going to get 2.5 hours because that's what's left remaining.
Mm.
It's just my mentality. And then when I sleep for those 2.5 hours, I sleep with a smile on my face. Because when I wake up, I know it's a brand new checklist and it's time to check off. I went to bed with nothing unchecked.
Yeah. Yeah.
That means I proved it to myself. That means nobody could tell me nothing because I just proved to myself that I can do anything.
Yeah.
So
Brody, let me ask you really quick, because you perfectly laid it out, like the daily grind, because that is the grind.
Yeah.
Right there. And when you said you go from work to home,
mm-hmm.
like people don't understand that's a whole nother, that's another job, if we're being honest. No, I'm just being honest. It's a whole nother job. And some man, you worked your butt off at whatever 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, however long, you know, you work, like you literally worked your butt off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're like that. You know, we're going to give 150% everything we do. And then you get home.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, sometimes I just got to be like, I need like 5 minutes for the transition.
Mm-hmm.
Where I have to take like a deep breath. Like, all right, let's get it again.
Yeah.
Like, that's all that is. It's just literally like just like 5 minutes. And then there's a whole nother grind that's completely different.
Yeah.
From what you know what to expect at work. Right. You know what it's going to come with. Home is different.
Yeah.
And that's that grind. The question that, like, because I was about to say, like, you laid it out perfectly, right?
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, the way you laid it out, is there a price to be called a man?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes. Let me tell you something, Malcolm. Do you want to know a realization I just had recently?
Mm-hmm.
I know why women live longer than men.
Mm.
I know why. Because, Malcolm, I know that I'm running myself into the ground. I know that. But I'm running myself into the ground for my family. And it's a sacrifice that I would do 1,000 lifetimes.
Right.
So I know that certain things may not be healthy for me. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's bigger than me.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
It's bigger than me. So, and it's a reason why you have to ask yourself, Malcolm, my grandfather passed away around 67 years old. My grandmother is alive and well today at 84 years old.
Mm.
My grandmother is about to outlive her husband by 20 years.
Mm. You know, that's crazy. And one reason why I had brought up that question is there a price to get the title of being called a man, right? Because you're born a certain way, you're a man, whatever the case may be, but have that title bestowed upon you, respected by others, earned. Because I've been seeing on social media as of lately,
yeah,
men just complaining.
For real.
And I'm confused about why they're complaining, because it just seems like that's what men are supposed to do.
Exactly.
So is this what we know, what our fathers taught us, what their fathers before us taught us? Is that a dying? Are we part of a dying breed?
You know what it is, Malcolm?
Okay. Yeah, listen, what is it?
Right now. Right now, you're seeing the effects of fatherless homes more than ever.
That's what I thought. Okay. All right. We're on the same page. That's what I thought. Okay. Okay. So, because I was thinking, like, men were complaining about being providers.
Why?
I have no idea. They was like, you know, I think sometimes the men should pay, you know, like utilities and, you know, why can't she pay the rent? Or why she can't pay the mortgage? Why I got to pay the car notes? And I'm like, but, you know, this is the price of being a man. This is where you get your respect from. This is the cost that, yeah. If you want that, then this is what you got to do, right? Not to say that she can't help. You know what I mean? Like, I'm never going to say that, because women are independent. They can do it. But I don't think the expectation should be there for her to do that.
Well, here's the thing, my brother. It's so many layers to this. Let's just keep it all the way real. Yeah. Number one, whatever the financial situation in your home, it is catered to you too. So mm-hmm. Don't try to bring your specific situation and try to generalize it to the public. Yeah. Okay, let's say rent is $1,000. Okay, everyone already has their individual bills, right? Because everything is in family. It's not, everyone isn't on a family cell phone plan, car insurance is family, everything. What I'm trying to say, every bill isn't family, right? Right. There are some, my student loans is this much. Da, da, da. Everybody brings something, their different expenses to the table. So you look at the $1,000 rent. This $1,000 must be paid every month or we have nowhere to live. Okay. Right. How can you get to the $1,000? How can you get to the $1,000? Okay. I can come up with four. I can come up with six. That's the $1,000. Okay. I can come up with eight. Okay. I can come up with two. That's the $1,000. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's not always going to be 50-50. Right. That's number one. That's the first layer. What you specifically do in your home, it's catered to you guys. There is no general layout across the board, right, of how the finances work in the home. But number two, let me tell you something. As a son that was raised in a home with a father, I take pride in providing.
Yep.
Like, I literally have joy when I pull out my card to pay the bill. That makes me happy. And you want to know why it makes me happy?
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with ego at all. It has nothing to do with being a breadwinner at all. It has nothing to do with any of those things. You want to know why it makes me happy? It's because I bust my ass off. I worked hard to be able to pay this $300 dinner. Now I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because my dad told me hard work pays off. That's why I'm happy. That's why. It has nothing to do with anybody else. It's the fruits of your labor.
Yep.
That's why we work. To live the quality life that we envision.
Yep.
So, I mean, like I said, I think all this spawns from fatherless homes, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it has to be, because it's just like some of the stuff that I'm saying, it's just complaining, you know. It's almost like you want the woman to be the man.
Why?
Yeah, and I don't get it. I mean, like, so, but here's the thing. They want women to contribute more, but his status stay the same. You want the women to do the quote-unquote men things, but you still want to be considered a man.
Well, let me tell you something. If the world is changing around you and you're remaining stagnant, that's how you become obsolete.
Yep. Yep.
So you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't want more from her, but yet you're doing the same or less. You're going to be surpassed.
Yeah. Like the
whole
see,
first here's the problem. Thing. But here's what's pissing me off, Malcolm.
Uh-huh.
Here's what's pissing me off. We're different. There's man, there's woman. We're different. I don't know why we keep trying to compete and trying to express how much we're the same are instead of expounding on our differences. Let me tell you something. When man and woman comes together, obviously they make a beautiful thing. That's how babies are made, right?
Yep.
So that is the reproductive aspect of it. When man and woman come together in your home, Malcolm, think of your home when you and your wife come together. When you guys come together and the day runs so smoothly, the kids are smiling, y'all smiling, everything got done. When the union comes together, it's unstoppable.
Right.
It's because everybody plays a different role. I love to use this example. I want you to imagine a 75-pound box, right? And it's two people there. The problem is the two people are trying to prove to each other which person can pick up the box the fastest, which person can hold the box the longest, opposed to whoever could pick up the box the easiest, the less strain it has on them. They pick up the box and the other person guides them to where the box is supposed to go. Mm. You understand? We're in this together.
Yep.
So I don't like this whole game of men versus women and boys versus girls. No, we're in this together. We're two halves that make each other whole.
Exactly.
So I don't play those games because I know in my home, it's a great tandem. She does this, I do that. And at the end of the day, the job gets done. There's no tally marks. There's nobody keeping score. It's we're going to win this game by any means necessary. Yeah. You score the points, I get the rebounds to pass the ball back to you so you could keep scoring the points.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
Like, seriously, man.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I'm just tired of seeing it, to be honest.
But it's because they never witnessed that in their home. They didn't witness that in their home.
Yeah.
See, they didn't see the game being played. They didn't see the plays being drawn up. Mm. See, what they seen was from one aspect. The boys that was raised in single parent homes with only their mother. See, and I listened to Risha, right? I listened to your wife. I listened to her when she said, "My boys can do no wrong." I heard her say that. And I listened to you and I and how we talk about our daughters and how our daughters can do no wrong. Mm-hmm. Right? I listen closely, right? And I understand where that stems from. See, when a boy is raised solely by his mother, there's times, like you said, the mother can provide tough love. But at her core is her nature to nurture. Let me tell you something, Malcolm. There are some men who still live with their mothers at 30 years old. Do you think that son would still be in the home if his father was there?
No,
I'm here to be honest today.
Well, we gotta look at, you know, I always like to compare it to animals. Like, there's no way that a male lion would allow for his sons to stay in his pride for that long.
Dude, there's no way you're bringing women, not girls. You're a grown-ass man now. There's no way you're bringing women into my home. There's no way you're conceiving children in my home and you still live in here.
Yep.
That's not happening. See, your father is going to usher you right out the nest. Now go fly. Find your wings. It's time to go.
Yeah.
You can't stay here because you want to know why, Malcolm? What did we hear when we was growing up? What did we hear at 16 years old? There's only one man in his house. Am I making it up?
No. Uh-uh.
There's only one man in his house. You're not living here at no 30 years old. And you got children out there in the world. And you're still living under my roof with me. That's not happening.
Yeah.
You have to go figure it out.
I've seen that, though.
I see it.
Have you? You seen that?
No, Malcolm. I see it. I see.
Oh, wow.
No, this is not past tense. I see this.
Like a grown man living with another man?
No. I see a grown man living with his mother.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
See, let me tell you something. A father and son living together is typically when the father is older in age, and now the son is coming back to take care of his dad.
Yeah.
So there's a difference. There's a difference between never leaving the nest and then coming back and building a comfortable nest for your father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For your parents.
For sure.
That's how it goes. They take care of you. They raise you up. You get in the position where you can take care of them. Mm-hmm. It's a full circle.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I just think right now, more than ever, we're seeing the effects.
I was thinking that you were saying that you saw, because I personally haven't really seen one, like a father living with a 30-year-old son.
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay.
No, we're not bro mates. No, that's not happening.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. I was like, dang, I don't think I've ever seen that before. That's what I was asking, have you seen that? Because that would be crazy. Because I personally can't name a situation like that.
Well, let's delve into it, Malcolm. You have two sons. Malcolm, do you not want to see your sons grow and flourish? Is that not why you put the time and effort into them that you do?
Yeah, for sure.
So if your sons are still at home at 26, 27, 28, 30 years old, and it doesn't seem like they're progressing anywhere, is that not a reflection of your parenting?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you put all that time and effort in for what?
Nothing.
No, like you go so hard so you can sit back and watch your children take over the world.
Yeah.
So no, we're not sitting down and drinking a beer together, son. Your ass didn't go to work today. You don't have a job.
Yeah. I definitely couldn't do that. Right. No. I could be a father and live with my son at that age if I see him grinding. All right, you want to put some money in your pocket? All right, you want to save some money in your pocket, okay. But if you gotta you gotta be on a mission.
Absolutely. Like show
me something. Absolutely. What are you doing? Are we just letting time pass by? Or do you have a plan?
Right.
You know, I can respect that. But
right.
As far as I'm sitting here, me going to work and feeding you at that age, and you not just doing anything, nah.
Listen, I understand, like, you left the nest, and now you're trying to get on your feet. You came back. But there's a time limit. Let me tell you something, man. In order to cross the finish line, you must set deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, dad, mom, I'm just, you know, transitioning from here today. I'm doing this move. All right, yeah, come on in. We got your old room for you. But how long do you think? About 8 months. Best believe on a 6 month, son. How's it looking? We're 60 days out. Everything looking good?
Yeah.
There's no come in here and stay here indefinitely. That's not how it works, man. Your parents are always going to be there for you.
Yeah.
But part of being there for you is helping you see for yourself that you can do and figure this thing life out on your own. That's part of being there for you.
Yeah.
I can't coddle you. Malcolm, I love watching these animal documentaries, right?
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm, when a panda is able to climb a tree on its own, his mother then knows that it's time to leave him.
Naturally.
Naturally. A few days afterwards, they part ways. Now it's time to go figure it out. Same thing with polar bears. I watched the latest, we all did as a family, watched the latest polar bear documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm, from young, the mama is going out, getting food to come back so they can nurse, so they could drink milk. Now, when they start moving around, she's teaching them how to fish. After a certain time, when they're able to fish and get food for themselves, the mom leaves because now it's time for that cub, whether male or female, to go find a mate and start their own family.
Yeah. And she's also done her job.
Exactly.
She's giving you all the tools, all the lessons you need to be successful. Now you got to go do it.
And that's what we do as parents.
Yep.
That's what we do.
Yep.
But it's the cost of being a man. And this goes back to your social media point. And this is probably why you're seeing the comments or responses on social media that you are. See, from young, if you aren't taught certain things, you don't have that mentality instilled in you.
Yeah.
And some things, if you don't get it from young, you will never have it for the rest of your life. I'm being completely honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Some things you just can't pick up at 21 years old. You want to know why? It's because there's been kids who's been 3-4 years old learning that lesson for 18, 19 years.
Yep. Yep. The lessons have to be taught now. Got to be taught now. I think I spend most of my day, especially with the boys, is building their mentality. Like it's not even the other stuff, because, you know, it's just building their mentalities. Like even we had a game. I said, man, you like when Malcolm's at a baseball game or football game, I tell him all the time. I said, Malcolm, you score 4 touchdowns or you could strike out the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I'm looking at. You're going to figure it out. Those things can be taught: how to swing better, how to field the ball, how to make a tackle, how to shoot the ball. All those things can be taught, right? Doesn't matter what age. I need to see your attitude. When things don't go right, how are you responding?
Mm.
Because that is what we can control.
Yeah.
Because in life, every day where you thought it was supposed to go. That's just a fact. But what are you going to do? You're going to sit there, you're going to mope, you're going to cry about it?
Yeah.
Well, you cry about it and tell me if that changes anything.
Exactly.
I'll be here waiting for you.
Exactly.
I tell him that all about the game. He struck out and he was so like, he about to cry. I'm like, what are you crying about?
Mm-hmm.
Is this not the game? Do people not strike out? And he's like, yeah. Okay, well, get over it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be crying all the way. It's up to you to bat next time, that you're wiping your tears off, that you can't even focus. You can't even see yourself hitting the ball next time.
Mm-hmm.
Because you spend all your time moping and crying, and you can't even envision yourself looking, see what you did wrong and fixing it. And now when it's time for you to bat, you already saw that you was hitting the ball before you even got up there. It's just mentality. Like, okay, you didn't have a good game, but your team had a good game. Be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Support your teammates. Say good job. Even when you're not on top of your game, they had to carry you. Show them that you're still a leader. Your voice is still important.
Yeah.
People will respond to you because they respect you. Man, look at him. He didn't even have a good game, but man, he's the first one jumping and cheering for everybody.
Yeah.
That's a mentality. That's an attitude. I said positive energy all the time.
Yes.
Control what you can control. Don't sit there and dwell on things that's already happened. It's happened. You struck out.
Yeah.
We don't have all game to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I kind of do that even in the house. Like, I'm like, listen, man, when bad stuff happens, let's just take 24 hours. You feel how you want to feel. After 24 hours, let's move on. Let's find a way to get what you want.
Yeah.
I understand. Sometimes I understand the emotions of things.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why you tell me, like, well, something goes wrong, it's okay. You could take a moment to be like, dang, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But just don't let it last too long. There's more opportunity that's going to come your way. And if you're dwelling on the last missed opportunity, how are you going to be able to ready for the next opportunity?
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. Like,
building the mentality. I think I spend more time on that than anything.
Absolutely.
I tell them that all the time. I was like, man, you know what made me more proud than anything? Is when you you did such and such, it didn't go your way, but the way you responded back after that is what made me happy. I tell him that all the time. I try to look for things in that I know that made him upset that he didn't like, but I watch him. That's when I really start watching him, or that's when I go talk to him.
Uh-huh.
Like, man, you got to get your mind right. You got to get over it.
Yeah.
Because if he can get that now and start doing that, then he's just going to be able to just... It's going to be a little bit more easier than it was for me.
Yeah. And that's the thing about being a father. Your father is your coach for life.
Yep.
You understand? Your father is your father is your biggest supporter.
Yep. Well,
it's probably rivaled by your mother. So,
yeah.
But your father is going to always encourage you and push you to do better.
Yes.
Because they know how great you will be if you apply yourself.
Man, what? That's, man, you said it perfectly. You know how great you will be if you apply yourself. That's all I'd be telling them. Like, Malcolm, I already see the greatness.
Mm-hmm.
If you follow the right steps, you're good to go. You have to be disciplined and do the right things.
Yeah.
I tell them that all the time. Yeah. And I also tell them, man, listen, I'll be your biggest cheerleader, but I'll be your biggest critic too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's different. It's different too when it comes from your dad.
Yeah.
Because a child is always searching for their father's approval.
Yep.
I see it every day in Aaliyah. Yep. You know, when she comes home with her schoolwork, and I'm going through it. You know, I go through page by page. It'd be like 50 pages in there. But I go through every page. I'm looking at all the equations. I'm like, okay, good, good, good. And then when I do an X, she's like, oh, did I get that wrong? What'd I do? I'm not making this up, Brody. She wants to take the paper out of my hand and do the problem over to show me that she can get the answer right.
Yeah.
You know, there's a period of time when I go through the papers and I do not see Aaliyah's name at the top of the paper. And I'm like, dear, you have to write your name on your paper. That's how you get credit for your work. The first thing you should be doing is write your name on your paper.
Yeah.
So, okay. Next week, come on with a bundle of papers. I still see the name missing on certain ones.
Yeah.
I said, okay, the next time you come home and I go through these papers and your name's not on top, I'm taking away 3 doll babies. And she said, okay. She's never come home with the name missing on top of the paper since. And let me tell you something. The other day, it's like the end of school. It's her last week. And so she's like clearing out all her cubbies. And she comes home with all these papers in her folder. And when I'm getting her snack ready, we just got home. I'm getting her snack ready and I'm clearing out her book bag. And she says, Daddy, before you go through the folder, I want to check a few things first. She delayed her snack. She went through all the papers to make sure her name was on top because she wasn't for sure. So what she's been doing is when she take the papers out, she goes to her desk and writes her name on top of all of them before they get home. And I guess she didn't have the time to do that this time. So she went through every paper. And I didn't say anything to her because I knew what she was doing. And I liked that. I like that because you know what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
You know what you're supposed to do. And she delayed her snack. She went through everything and then she put it all back in.
I can respect that though.
Absolutely.
Listen, I need to handle my business. It's my snack time right now. Let me go handle my business real quick. Let me make sure I'm all good. And if I got time for snack after that, then I'll take it. If not, then we'll just keep it rolling.
Yeah.
I do that with Malcolm all the time. He'll come home and he'll put his, put Malcolm Cherison. He'll put a date. I'll be like, oh man, you made 100 on this one. Good. I'm gonna keep this one. I'm gonna go frame this one because this one's mine. Because I'm like, you have to put the second, unless it's not you, it's me. I'm like, listen, you did a wonderful job. And I'll take all the credit for it. I will not give him credit at all. He'd be like, but Daddy, I made that 100. No, I made the 100. I don't know what you were doing, but I made this 100. I do that all the time. Would it be like, so now he's getting used to like, bro, you have to put the second.
Yeah.
Don't put the second. That's not you.
Wow.
Me.
Yep. Wow. Man, the other day I was talking to Aaliyah and we were just talking about Juneteenth, right?
Yeah.
Juneteenth is approaching and the school is starting to like talk about it, but I like to get ahead of the school. Mm-hmm. I like to get in front of things. Now we spoke about Juneteenth before because of the Netflix documentary High on a Hog, how African American cuisine changed America.
Yep.
Beautiful documentary. And it just talks about like all the foods, like why we eat the way we eat today. And it's all from us, Malcolm, everything.
Of course.
Everything. And it has its last episode talks about Juneteenth. And so I was just talking to her about it, but I was delving like deeper into it. I'm like, dear, I love that people are championing freedom, but what people don't talk about is how hard freedom was. You go from living in the shack on the master's plantation. And like you said earlier about Poppy being honest with you and direct with you, I'm the same way with Aaliyah. And I always preface it, says, dear, I'm just being honest. I said, we're not going to sugarcoat any words. I told her, no, they were our ancestors' master. You know, I don't want to, oh, they told them what to do. No. Could you imagine not being able to eat when you want to eat, wake up when you want to wake up, go to sleep when you wake up? Like, this is what our ancestors endured. So I was delving into, you know, once they found out they was freed in Galveston, Texas, and I told her it wasn't all Africans. It was the last of our enslaved ancestors who finally found out their freedom, which is why we have Juneteenth. And I was telling her that people champion freedom, like, yay, freedom, freedom, freedom. But they went from living in a shack to now being homeless. They went from free labor because they were enslaved. Now they can't do that job anymore. They don't know where to go to look for work, yep, or probably even know how to do other trades or other things, because this is what they've been doing since the day they was born.
They
done got separated from their family. They don't know how to find their family. They don't have money to get to where they think their family may be. So freedom, it sounds it's very good. I'm not taking away from it. But freedom wasn't easy. And I told her, school doesn't teach you that, dear. They're not going to have that lesson with you. Because let me tell you something, Malcolm. With everything we've been through in this country, and even though you and I wasn't physically there, there's a certain sentiment within that I can feel. Mm-hmm. You understand? It's a certain feeling. And school's not going to teach you that. What's actually going to teach you that is when you do your own research and you start to delve within to your history, and then you start to be able to relate to what you're learning. Yeah. Because even though the physical chains may not be around us anymore, the mental ones are still present in so many ways. And I was just talking to her, and she is so funny. She's listening. And then she says, Daddy, can we take a break, please? She said, you're talking too much. You're talking too much, Daddy. I said, dear, I said, you know, your father's a speaker. So if anybody is going to know how much I talk, it's going to be you. You know, I talk to you every day. You know, I pour into her every single day, whether it's the morning message, whether it's just daily conversation. But here's the thing, though. I know all my words and all this talking that I do to her daily, I know that my words and my voice is going to live with her long after I'm gone.
Yeah. Yep.
I know that. I know she's going to hear my voice even when I'm no longer here.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, there's a certain responsibility when you're a father, you're a parent. You know how much influence you have over your child. It's a certain responsibility to try to be a good person, man. And just try teach them everything you know, because you've learned so much over your years that you didn't get right at 10 years old, that hopefully they get right at 10.
Yeah.
Right. And they just pass it down generation to generation. But what I was telling her is, dear, our ancestors 200 years ago, when they were enslaved, they were making decisions back then of how we can end up being free today, and they don't even know our names. So what I want you to do is think about, what are you going to do that's going to help out your descendants 100 years from now?
Yeah,
that's how you pay it forward.
Yeah.
You understand? So that's why I have the conversations that I have with her. And because when you pour into your child, like, and my father poured into me, and my mother as well, but my father poured into me, and it's things I didn't understand at 17, because I was bullheaded, I was stubborn, I knew it all.
Yeah. Yep.
But the messages start to come back to me when I was 23. When I was all alone in the state by myself with my heart broken, family 8 hours away in both directions, all alone on my island, it's certain things that my father told me that helped me get up and get out of that position when I didn't feel like moving. But nobody's coming to save you. Mm. Nobody's coming to save you. Either you're going to build the civilization on your deserted island, or you're going to die from starvation. Mm. And that's just the mentality.
Yep.
That's just the mentality. It's not saying that nobody is good enough to help me, but what it's saying is I'm going to have to figure this out as best I can before I start looking to my left and my right.
Mm. There you go.
And I mean, that's in my opinion, I can't speak for anyone else, but you asked the question of the cost of being a man. Yeah. And I believe that that's what it is. And I believe that's why we don't live as long.
Mm.
You know, and it's numerous other layers too. We rarely go to the doctor. And you want to know why we don't go to the doctor? And I speak for myself. There we go. Say it again, my brother.
We don't have time to be sick.
My brother, say it again, please.
We don't have time to be sick.
We don't. And furthermore, I'll be all right. I'll be all right.
I'll be all right.
Until I'm not.
Yeah.
It's a mentality.
Yeah.
It's a mentality.
Yeah.
Like everyone has a role to play. And my role is do whatever it takes to get the job done, even if it means running myself into the ground. That's the ultimate sacrifice for my family. And I have no problem with that at all.
Mm.
But my brother, man, you know, Father's Day is approaching around the corner. And
yes, sir.
It's what kind of spawned this conversation. I mean, like timing wise, but it's definitely something that we touched on a few weeks
Father's
ago.
Father's Day and Juneteenth.
Yeah, Juneteenth as well. How do you feel about the emergence of Juneteenth right now?
I don't like the way it's going, if I'm being honest with you. But I should expect it. I don't like the commercial side to it.
You don't like the Walmart Juneteenth ice cream?
No.
You don't like that? You don't like that, Malcolm?
Tell me that's a lie, Brody.
Malcolm, you don't like that?
No, I don't like that. Come on, man. What are we talking about? Are you for real?
That's Malcolm. That's what I did my little research on. You know what it is, my brother? Is this the way this country was built? The foundation is already set. Right. And even though certain laws have been made along the way, it hasn't broken down the foundation that it was built. So what I'm saying is it doesn't matter how you switch the bricks in and out on the mid-level or the top level. If the same ones are locked in, cemented in the bottom, nothing ever is truly going to change.
Yeah.
And I truly feel like in this country, I feel like we're tolerated. I don't feel like we are accepted. I feel like laws have changed. And so people have grew to tolerate us. Now, do I think some people genuinely like us or get along with us? For sure. But all I'm trying to say was there was a point of time when that wasn't the case. And just because laws have changed, it doesn't mean that people's hearts have changed.
Yeah.
You understand? All it means is when you leave your front door, you probably can't say or do certain things that you were once able to do at will.
Yeah.
You understand? But it doesn't change the conversation that you have at your dinner table in your home. That's sure. How you really feel.
Yep.
And so I was just sitting back, just thinking about it. Like I see how some certain jobs are observing it. They're taking the 20th off and so forth.
Yeah.
I like the fact that, because I tell Aaliyah that the 4th of July is not for us. That's not celebrating our independence. Right. So I like the fact that we do have like our own day to celebrate our independence. That's pretty cool.
That's the part that I like. And I didn't know about Juneteenth until maybe like 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, it's relatively new. Absolutely. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm glad for the information. I'm glad I know about it. I'm glad that we're seeing Juneteenth parties now, like gatherings, picnic, barbecues. Like I was talking about before, I don't like that we're not receiving the capital off of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, none of this stuff comes back to us. Even when we have a party, the plates we buy, the food we buy, all those things go back to the people who told us last, you know.
That's an interesting point.
So I don't like that. I think if we're going to have Juneteenth, it needs to be Walmart needs to buy ice cream. You need to find a Black-owned company. You buy all their ice creams for the month.
Yeah.
Put in your store, put in the front. And I mean, because, I mean, essentially, that's the only way we're going to get it back.
Yeah. And you would think so. But what Walmart did is they went and they found a Black-owned ice cream and they used the same flavor to make their own Walmart Juneteenth ice cream.
You're lying.
And I'm not making my brother.
So the plot thickens.
You can Google this. I'm looking at a picture right now. It's Great Value Celebration Edition Juneteenth ice cream. Share and celebrate African American culture, emancipation, and enduring. What's the last thing it says? I can't read that last word on it. But they have an ice cream here, and it has like our skin tones on it. It has music symbols on it.
Oh my!
Oh my gosh! This is so interesting. But the company apologized for making it. So, I mean, they also have Juneteenth party plates, all sorts of things. So they was really getting ahead of it for the whole celebration that they went and made their own ice cream, but it copied the flavor of Black-owned company ice cream.
Man.
That's interesting, right?
Man, yo. I'm not even going to lie to you, bro.
So guess what? It was swirled. Bad
taste.
Malcolm, it was swirled red velvet and cheesecake.
Come on, stop playing. Stop playing.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, bro, but they kind of hit the spot.
Yeah, because they stole it from that other.
Come on, man. You can't do that, man. You can't. That's fraudulent in so many ways, man.
It is.
It makes me really upset, though, you know, but, I mean, nah. I was going to say, you know, anything for a dollar bills is fair game, but that's not right. That's just not right. But stealing the recipes from a Black-owned company?
Yeah.
Now that's, and then putting it out for Juneteenth? Like, just steal the recipe.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Like, that's already a slap in his face, but now you're blatantly trying to disrespect.
Talk about it, man.
You steal the recipe from a Black-owned ice cream company.
They put all our colors on there. The colors of Africa.
Yeah.
Red, green, yellow.
You try to resell it to us. Like, that's not right, man. And there's no telling what else they've done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've done added to their portfolio. They're only going to get richer. They just bought the Broncos.
I know.
So, I mean.
That's crazy. It's interesting.
That's a powerful family, though.
It is.
Yes. They call them heirs at this point.
I know, so right?
They don't even call them. They don't let you know if that's a cousin or a nephew or a son. They're just heirs at this point. And that's some different type of money. That is wealth right there. That is beyond generational wealth. That's centuries wealth.
Tell me about it.
But one thing about Walmart, though.
Yeah.
They figured it out.
Like,
no, you see how Walmart's down here. There's no reason why you need to go to another store. You can get your hair cut, your nails done, your tires, your car fixed. You can get groceries. You can get clothes. You can buy jewelry.
Yeah.
You can go see the doctor. You can pick up prescription.
Oh.
You can take your pet to be groomed.
Mm.
I mean,
one-stop shop. That's crazy. We're gonna have to do an episode on the Waltons, man. And just you know what we should do?
Money ain't clean. They got a lot of dirty money too.
Yeah, we should do an episode into all the families, the Waltons, the Rockefellers, the Morgans.
Yep.
That'd be pretty interesting, man.
Yeah. These are the guys who really
built Disney. America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Disney's a big one too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, they built America and they control America, to be honest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, what's his name? You see, the governor down there in Florida.
Yeah.
Thought he was pulling a quick one.
What happened?
On Disney. You know, Disney pretty much controls that area.
Yeah.
They're the ones who pay the police, ambulance, hospitals. It's like it's truly their own city. They control it. Like they run it as a local government.
Wow.
But that was a special privilege that was given to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, Disney spoke out against that bill. Don't say gay bill.
Oh.
In Florida, they was like they don't agree with it. So they pulled their special privileges.
Really?
Disney said, yeah. Disney said, that's okay. That's fine. Tell the citizens now that they have to pay our $65 billion worth of debt.
What? Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Because, you know, Disney, all the roads that you saw to get to Disney World and surrounding roads in the cities.
Yeah.
Was all by Disney. And these counties are coming back saying, man, we can't afford this.
Wow.
We can't afford to pay these extra police officers, police and firefighters. Like, we can't afford this.
Wow.
Disney was paying for it. Disney's sitting on their high chair like, bro, we don't even care. Like, you don't even understand what you're doing right now.
Right. That's interesting, man. I'm going to do some research into that.
But we got to talk about that. That actually would absolutely be hard. Like we should come up with, like, the five top families.
No, we're going to do it.
Yeah, we have to. The criteria should be longevity,
mm-hmm.
how long they've been around, wealth, and impact
on
society.
That's it. It's happening. You spoke it into existence.
Let's do it, man.
Yes, sir. My brother, I want to thank you for joining me today, man, on this
absolutely
very, very candid episode, man.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm saying really, really appreciate it. Enjoy your Father's Day, man. Enjoy Juneteenth coming up this weekend.
And, absolutely. You do the same.
Thank you, man. You know, kick back for one day and just enjoy, you know.
Sir, absolutely. Most definitely will.
Yes, sir. My brother, thank you so much for joining me. And
absolutely,
we'll be back in the near future with that episode on the most powerful families in America.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. Let's get it.
With that being said, let's jump into our next segment. Have a treat. As you know, each and every episode, I recommend something for you to read, I recommend something for you to watch, and I recommend something for you to do. Because you deserve to treat yourself. You absolutely do. So hey, grab a fork, ladies and gentlemen, because it is time for a treat. Now, what I recommend that you watch is the brand new Jurassic Park. It is out. It is out. Jurassic Park World Dominion. It is part 3 in the new saga. As you know, the first Jurassic Park has 3 movies. And then this new franchise with Chris Pratt has 3 movies. And this is the last one. Now, will they redo it in 20 years again? Maybe so, because people just don't get tired of dinosaurs, especially that T-Rex roar. You look for it in every single movie. Please check it out. Jurassic Park World Dominion. All right. Now for something to read. What I recommend that you read, ladies and gentlemen, if you aren't familiar with the holiday of Juneteenth, then do some research, read up on it, get familiar with it, because it is here to stay. And I am excited to see how it is going to be celebrated over time, how we are going to cultivate the holiday and make it our own. Very exciting. Very exciting. All right. Now for something to do. What I recommend that you do, gentlemen, all the fathers out there, happy Father's Day. Enjoy yourselves this upcoming Sunday. It is also Juneteenth this Sunday as well, so I'm looking forward to that. Everybody out there who celebrates Juneteenth, enjoy, enjoy. Wear red. Put on your red. Red is a very, very, very significant, powerful color for Juneteenth. If you don't know why, that's actually my ending trivia question here for you. If you don't know why red is such a significant color on that holiday, then go figure out why. Go figure out why. Go ask. I'm going to give you a hint. Go ask Galveston, Texas. Thank you so much for listening. I deeply appreciate it. I really, really do. Before you leave, I want to leave you with this quote. Once you become fearless, life becomes limitless. Thank you.